For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Out of the abundance of what is being in here comes out of here. So if you are regularly criticizing and correcting and condemning people, there is something wrong in here. So that what is down in the well comes up in the bucket. That's all that Jesus is saying. What is down there needs to be replaced with truth, with God's words, because his words, they put us in our proper place. His words humble us. His words convict us. And his words spur us on to righteousness and holiness. And so we replace what is the muck and mire that is down in here that is being revealed out of the mouth. And we replace it with truth. And we read his word and we say, you know what, God? I didn't respond to that individual as I should have. You know, Lord, you're convicting me of these words that I've used that I shouldn't have said. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Be careful what you tweet. Be careful what you text. See, these are the days of instant information and instant communication. And we all think that whatever we have to say is so vitally important that we want the whole world to hear it. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. There are those times when in the past when you picked up that phone and you called that number and you wanted to share your heart with that individual on the other end. You wanted to give them a piece of your mind. And you called and you were ready to rumble and they didn't answer. And you hung up and you were disappointed. But then 24 hours goes by and you say to yourself, oh God, thank you for protecting me from myself, and that you saw fit that other person on the other end did not pick up that phone, because in the heat of my emotion, I would have said some things that would have been very hurtful. Listen, guys, even if what you were about to say to them was true, what did Paul say just a few verses before? Speak truth in love. Speak it in love. So if you're emotional about the whole thing, kick it back a little bit. Wait. Make sure your heart is right before you go. But emotionally, I don't care what state you're in. If you have something positive to say, just say it. It'll always be received. It will always be received. So we recognize that God must help us with this thing. We pray, and then we fill our heart with God's word. So if you want your life to honor Christ, do not have a foul, corrupt mouth. Rather, speak words that edify. And so in the midst now of these do's and these do nots, now Paul grants us, guys, some astonishing insight of just how personal God takes our sin. We've said it many times before, but sometimes you just got to kick back and think it through, because it really serves as a motivator for our obedience to Christ. And notice what he says here in the midst of this, right in the middle there in verse 30. And he says, here's this command of verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What this shows us about the Holy Spirit and about the triune God is he has personhood. He feels things at an emotional level, doesn't he? Oh, he is spirit, and he does not have a body like us. But he is a person. He has personhood, and therefore being created in the image and the likeness of God, so do we. It's what separates us from the animal kingdom. We are people. I've said this before, this is a little side issue, but it bothers me sometimes. All the times when people are referred to as human. Now, I want you to notice that when you start listening to television shows and these kinds of things. Humans. We're humans, I get that. But would you ever go to a town and say, I wonder how many humans live in Guyton? Does that sound a little strange? How many humans live in Guyton? Do you see what I'm saying? Instead of saying people. Where we're dealing with people. We're not just dealing with upright homo sapiens. We're dealing with people. They have personhood. But science has kind of robbed this human. And so you hear that all the terms we're only referred to as just human. They're just human. And I like to correct our kids and say, no, we're people. Use the term people. It's much more personal. Where human kind of feels a little bit more cold and callous. But so God can be grieved. The Holy Spirit who lives within us. When we sin, He feels it deeply. It causes Him to groan. He experiences it with us. And yet He, of course, is still separate from it. And He is always holy. But He feels it intensely. And He wants you to feel it intensely as well. And you should. And that's part of our maturity. That's part of our sanctification. That is part of our growing up in Christ. That we become more and more and more sensitive to our sin because we want to feel what He is feeling because He lives within us. All sin is a big deal to God, as we have just seen. Stealing, lying, unkind words, words that are spoken when they shouldn't be, words that are spoken in a wrong way when they shouldn't be, words that are coming out of a vindictive, selfish heart. All of this grieves God. And then He follows it up by saying, and by the way, why would you do that against the one who has sealed you for the day of redemption? Look at what the Holy Spirit has done for you. He has come and He's taken up residence in your body. He is your seal. He is your guarantee that you are fit for heaven. He is the reason you're going to go. He has sealed you. He is protecting you. He is your guarantee of your salvation. Why would you abuse Him with your selfish, selfish sin? See, Paul's just getting us to think beyond just self. Paul is wanting our minds to be engaged beyond just this earth and one another. He wants us to be engaged with what is happening with God Himself. So do not wound Him by lying and stealing and coveting and being embittered. And then lastly, Paul sums it all up with this. If you want your life to honor Christ, then put away vices that cause conflict and practice virtues that bring unity. Look there at verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And guys, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Bitterness is a smoldering resentment. Wrath is a picture of instant, uncontrolled anger. Anger is a more subtle, deep feeling. Clamor and slander and malice describe ungodly words and attitudes. And all of these are sins that break fellowship and destroy relationships. And in contrast, Paul says, be kind, be tender-hearted, and always, always forgiving. And again, we look to Christ. Jesus was kind. Luke 6:35 at the end of the verse, it says, for He is kind, now listen to this, He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And Paul points out in Romans 2:4 that it is His kindness that has led us to repentance. He's kind. Jesus was tender-hearted. And this word goes to this deep emotion in your bowels, deep in your heart. Another word would be compassion. Matthew 9:36. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And what did he do? He served them and he taught them. We know, of course, that Jesus was forgiving. As he was being nailed to the cross, he cried out to his Father on behalf of those who were crucifying him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Listen, there is nothing that anybody can do to you that is beyond you forgiving them. And I know that there has been awful things that are done to people. People sitting here. But nothing is as awful as what Jesus endured when our holy Creator was being murdered by his own creation. And yet, he cried out to the Father, "God, forgive these ignorant ones. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Those Roman soldiers were just carrying out their orders. They were wrong in what they were doing, and that's why Jesus said, "Oh God, forgive them." But he also understood that what they were doing, they didn't understand. And so Paul commands us, you forgive your brother and sister and anybody else, because God in Christ has forgiven you. And if God in Christ can forgive wretched you, certainly we can forgive wretched others. Right? Forgive. And so he says, if you want your life to honor Christ, then put away the vices that cause conflict and practice the virtues that bring unity and healing to the body. Let's pray.